So today I'm talking to Dee Patel. You're an entomologist living in Tawa. So good afternoon, Dee, and welcome
Good
to
afternoon.
Radio Jackie. You've been contacted about a recent news story in the national media about certain types of snakes and lizards and exotic tree frogs that have been found in the UK. But today we're going to talk about other rather unexpected hitchhikers that are probably in your field of expertise, so insects that could make their way to our shores, including caterpillars, deadly tiger mosquitoes, and Japanese horn beetles. Can we go on to the tiger mosquitoes? Because they apparently they're well, you must know they're striped, so they look like a tiger, and they can carry dengue fever, Zika virus, and so they're a particular problem if they come over to the UK. First of all, would they survive if somebody found them in some bananas or something? Would they actually survive in the UK if they were found unexpectedly in your shopping?
They would survive for a short period of time in the right conditions. So during our summers and our warmer climates, yes, they could survive. And we know recently, in Heathrow as well, in local areas to us, we've had the highest temperature recordings in the country over the last few years in our summers. So you can see how, we are in a hot spot, literally, and that's what they love. So they can survive in the right season. Whether they can survive our winters is a different question. They can't survive that. Currently, we have our cold winters to thank for the fact that they are not coming here. And we have seen them coming from Southeast Asia over to places like Spain and Italy and working their way upwards through places like Germany and even, coming to the south of France now. So there were some last year found in the ports, the Sussex coast areas, but they didn't survive. There was just some isolated cases that had been found there, and so actually they're very interesting because although they're called tiger mosquitoes, they actually look more like a zebra because they're black and white striped. I just think maybe zebra doesn't have the same kind of aggressive name that tiger does, to resemble what they're actually like. A zebra mosquito, people probably think it's quite cute, but a tiger mosquito sounds a bit more dangerous, and they are. You're right, tiger mosquitoes are something we should worry about and something we definitely don't want because they do carry deadly diseases, and they very often do kill things like, our cats and dogs and humans as well, where the diseases and viruses they carry.
Yeah, I think dengue is a particularly possible one that could cause a problem, isn't it? Because people are coming over with dengue from Southeast Asia and the Caribbean, and if they're likely to get bitten by one over here and likely to catch dengue, that could be a problem, couldn't it?
That could be a problem. Absolutely, there is a problem with that, and it's something that we are seeing more and more across Europe. So it's definitely, and also we've got to remember we are traveling a lot more. Post-pandemic, everybody seems to travel more, and they're making up for lost time. But when we travel, we also bring them with us. So lots of times that they are coming with us, and also when we're traveling to Europe, that's something to be careful of because what can you do to minimize the risk? Well, try to look up the place you're staying at. Try and stay at places where there isn't stagnant waters too close to your accommodation. So, lakes and things. You don't really want a hotel overlooking a lake in the summer or something in Europe because that's where you'll get more chances of these kind of tiger mosquitoes being. So, little things like that, and you can make little ways to stop them on yourselves. You can actually make a lovely rub. You can make from a couple of spoons of citronella oil with about half a cup of something like sweet almond oil, and you just rub this on to your body, and this you'll smell lovely. But also, mosquitoes hate that smell, so they'll stay away from you. So it's little measures like that. I'm all for kinder ways to stop things because using pesticides means that you end up killing lots of other beneficial insects out there as well. So I actually run a Facebook page called Insect Lovers Unite, and it's all about kind ways to stop creatures without harming them, and they're all free home remedies. You don't have to buy things, and I always encourage this because we've got to remember that although they are deadly and things, by just getting the pesticides out, we are also affecting things like bees and other things that we really do not want to cause harm to.
Could they actually get involved in the potential dangers to our own insect population? Could they, cross mate? Could they actually become part of the UK population, insect population, as our temperatures go up?
They can. It's something that would definitely be interesting from my point of view as an entomologist. Not interesting if you're just living and you don't want them here, but it'll be interesting to see how, because we never really know how things would fare between different species. We've seen an interesting case recently with ladybirds, and we've seen lots of people have reported ladybirds locally to us in Tolworth as well. And this has been happening over the last few years. It is usually in the autumn. So people have been reporting ladybirds on the increase in Tolworth over the last couple of years, at least to me. And people are seeing them indoors. And initially people think, wow, this is amazing. They're ladybirds that are in my house, and it tends to be around autumn and winter. And people say, wow, there's so many of them. I've got about 50 of them or 100 of them even. And it's something to get excited about, but in a way it's not, because the ladybirds we're seeing in our homes over autumn and winter are actually not our native ladybirds. These are from the southeast, and what they're doing is actually they're invasive, and so they do pose a threat. And we have seen already that they can attack our own ladybirds, in fact. So different species, you never know how they'll pan out, but it is very much survival of the fittest with nature, as it always has been since of time. So, in a way, who are we to sort of try and intervene and stop that? But it's been happening from the beginning of time. But it's something that we have caused through travel, through importing things like the current news story. And it's something that will carry on, because this is a trend that we like to buy things abroad. We like to buy exotic plants and, larvae and eggs and things like that can come across. And if they come at the right season, then they can thrive here and they can cause problems to our own native insects and other life forms.
What does a non-native ladybird look like, a Southeastern Asian ladybird look like? Does it look the same or is it bigger?
Very similar, very similar. So it would be very hard for somebody to distinguish. There is usually it's the pattern and the formation of the dots. So what I'd do is I'd tell somebody to have a look on my Facebook page on Insect Lovers Unite. You can actually ask me there and I can send you the pictures of the two. Description wise, it's quite hard because they do both look red. They both have black spots, and it's sometimes a number of spots as well, and the way that they are patterned across the body, you'd see the differences when you see the two. Our native ones are slightly smaller and have smaller white patches across the eyes, whereas the ones from the Southeast Asia, they have larger white patches across the eyes and they tend to be a bit bigger. But again, most people aren't too familiar with the size of a ladybird or the formation of their dots, so it's always good to look that up,
Yeah.
and to be sure, but it's nothing that's a huge, a huge problem. Because on the flip side of that, these ladybirds from the Southeast Asia, they are also very good survivors and also a good food source for our birds. So there are birds and there are other insects which are enjoying a more plentiful supply of ladybirds. So there is sort of a flip side to that.
There's a positive side to globalization in the insect world, would you say? Yeah.
Yes, definitely there is a positive side, and it's something really to never lose sight of. I mean, I'm a big fan of compassion to all creatures. Part of the reason I became an entomologist, because I was one of those children in the playground that was more interested in picking up a snail and moving it so nobody steps on it, rather than playing a football and scoring a goal. So I was always into that, and I always had a compassion for them, thinking, well, how would you like it, if somebody stepped on you, or and this kind of is also a part of entomology, is preservation, obviously, because they are ecological assets. And so when people use the word pests, and all my friends know I don't like that word, I always say be blessed by a pest, because there is no such thing as a pest. It's just a life form. It's an ecological asset, and it's adding something to our environment that we may not be aware of. But I've got countless friends who are refuse collection men and postmen, and they're forever shaking the bins now because they want to save the little snails that are on the bins. Because I say they actually decompose a lot, and they put a lot of, they're big decomposers of organic matter, and they put a lot back into our soil. So don't just throw them into the back of your lorry. I say to the dustman, and I say the same to my postman. So they're often seen around locally doing that. If you do see one locally in Tolworth, you'll know why they're shaking your dustbin bag. Maybe they've listened to me.
Excellent. There's another insect that you said is appearing, is the Japanese horn beetle, which I understand they're kept as pets in Japan and they look like tiny rhinoceri. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. The redneck longhorn beetle. This is one, and then we have the Japanese beetle. So we've got two different types, as well as the eight-toothed European bark beetle. So we've got a few different types that are appearing in the UK now, in London as well.
They present a
And
danger.
they're not immediately, not at the moment. They're not really thriving. They're not taking over anything here. They're seen as isolated cases, not so much. The Japanese beetle we're seeing a lot more of, to be honest. We are seeing a lot more of that one. And some of them do. I mean, they more of a danger, not to us, but more to things like fruit trees. You know, if we grow our cherry trees, our apricots and things like that, plums and peaches, there is certain, like the red-necked longhorn beetle loves to feast on those and can be quite dangerous if you have an orchard or something like this. The eight-toothed European bark beetle is one that we don't have a problem with really, but we did probably bring quite a few in over the last couple of months because they primarily live on spruce trees, you know, on conifers. So Christmas time, you know,
Christmas
is when we're
trees.
getting,
Right.
that's it, that's where they live, the eight-toothed European bark beetle. And we do get a lot of our Christmas trees from Europe, so you know, some of them would have hitchhiked here. At the moment there's not a problem with these things, but they could, you know, the tables could turn and there could be issues with them. You know, with global warming, with online shopping, you know, anybody could buy an exotic plant that I've grown in my back garden in Spain and it will be here within 3 days. It doesn't have that much quarantine. You could send it in normal post, you know, so it's actually quite worrying sometimes.
So that's something we've got to be aware of, buying exotic plants from abroad rather than homegrown. You can buy homegrown exotic plants from Kew and from wonderful garden centres that they're homegrown. So when you buy something that you know has not come from this country, are there certain precautions you should take? Should you check it over and see if there's any unusual larvae on it, or actually find any live beetles on it? And if you did find a live creature on it that you don't recognise, could that people, I presume people could just post a picture to you on your Facebook page, or is there anywhere else they could contact?
Yes, definitely. I always encourage that because, as you say, you know, lots of the things that we have grown here, like the lovely exotic plants from our local garden centres and places, you know, they will be fine. But it's sometimes the ones we buy at markets we have to be aware of. Sometimes ones online, you know, things like that. The frog that was the tree frog that was found in Sheffield had hitchhiked in a bunch of roses to a florist from Colombia via Ecuador. And so he'd come a long way and been found in this bunch of roses in Sheffield, you know, and so, you know, we can easily have this in Tolworth. There's no reason why not. So, you know, we might be finding out. I'm not, you know, not saying for example, you're going to wake up to an ornamental olive tree you've ordered online with a snake wrapped around it, but this has happened in a part of the UN Europe. So, you know, this is something we need to be wary of. But also at the same time, we've got to remember these things are not there to, you know, they're not there to harm us. We're taking their homes, we're taking their trees and their plants where they live, you know, and we're bringing them to our country and we're bringing them to our homes. So, you know, it's not something that we need to be so aggressive. I always like to inspire compassion with this because there's another side of it. I feel like if we can have a compassionate live and let live kind of culture with all sorts of life forms. You know, it's like a good karma element. Till the new year, we can have a resolution that if you see any life all the time, never use poisons. And, you know, lots of people actually have switched to not using things like mouse poison because actually, did you know that when a mouse ingests this, it's not just the mouse, you know, the mouse will suffer for 5 or 6 days when the, you know, their veins will slowly tear, it's internal bleeding. But the problem is that this passes on to birds, crows, and also things like foxes. And this is, just goes on and poisons other things. So I always tell people, you know, if you don't want rodents or anything like that around you, empty, you know, get some bowls of white vinegar and put them around places you don't want rodents and foxes and squirrels. They won't come. Or you can use humane capture traps, catch them alive and release them far away, because all of these little things will help the bigger things to help preserve our larger, you know, the larger picture, because it's not just one animal or one insect, it's actually the whole food chain. So, you know, it's and everything it deserves a chance. You know, if you see an injured bird or something, obviously pick it up, take it to a local centre like London Wildlife Protection, where I volunteered, I said earlier, they will help. You know, vets sadly will have to euthanize Other wildlife organizations are there to help. So always contact them if you find a wild animal that you don't recognize, even if it's a tiny little newt or something. Don't just put it into your garden. Just always contact an organization. You can contact me as well on Insect Lovers Unite on Facebook, as you said. I'll be more than happy to help.
So the moral of the story is try and be as humane as possible. If you spot something, report it, don't squish it or squash it, catch it and return it to an expert like yourself or a wildlife centre or an insect centre to really to stop it proliferating where it shouldn't be. And what would happen to it then? Would it be kept there or would it be returned on the next bunch of bananas home or something?
Yeah, well, it depends actually. If it's an animal like we've seen the tree frog, or we've seen the snakes or the geckos and the Italian lizards, all of these reports, we've seen with the Italian lizards, the geckos, the tree snakes, and the frog. If it's something like this, it will be returned back. If it's not returned back to the country itself, it'll be returned back to a wildlife sanctuary in the UK where it can be looked after properly and cared for with others of its own species, be it a zoo or something like this.
If you're buying anything from an exotic place, check it first to see if there's anything that's there that shouldn't be and report it if you see it.
Absolutely, report it. Always report it and go online. You can find various ways of reporting to your local authority, or there's the insect associations online local to us. Or you can look on my Facebook, Insect Lovers Unite, write me a message there, and I can report it further. But always reporting is good because that gives us an idea of what's happening locally to us, and also helps the bigger picture and knowing what's happening more across our country. And we can keep tabs on things that way. And know and stop things before they get worse, you know?
Yeah, thank you, Dee. Thank you very much for talking to me. It's been very interesting. And I hope our listeners are going to be on the lookout now for the ladybirds, especially in Tolworth. And I hope they'll listen to you about the mice and putting white vinegar down, because these days you've got a
Yes.
lot of mice coming in from the garden, especially in the cold, and they find there's some
Yeah.
chocolate in the leave food. Don't put food in cupboards where mice can get. That's one thing. They love
Yeah.
chocolate. But if you do find a mouse, white vinegar will deter it. Is that correct?
That's right. Put white vinegar in little bowls around where you don't want mice, rats, squirrels, foxes, even near your rubbish. And that will stop them. They hate the smell of it. It won't harm them. And also, if you've got stubborn mice or rats or anything like that, you can buy online, you can buy humane live capture traps. They just catch them alive and then release them into wooded areas, into the woodlands. And that way, you're not causing the whole food chain to damage. But also, it's a kindness thing, because every time there's a little bit of poison in a mouse, they die slowly for 5 or 6 days, and it's a really horrible thing for somebody just being hungry. They're just trying to live like we are. So I always say the message is, live and let live. Good karma for everybody. Every life you save, it will be putting a bit of compassion out there in a world that needs it, and it might come back to help us sometime, that good energy.
Thank you, Dee. Thank you. I think the moral is be kind to animals and you'll be kind to yourselves as well, isn't it? So thank you very much for talking to me. Lovely to hear from you. We've got the details of your Facebook page, and I'm sure a lot of listeners will be absolutely fascinated by what we've spoken about today. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye for now. Thank you.
Bye.